This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Chuang, and right now we're getting into a little bit of news. We're going to digest the details of the Prihatin Rakyat stimulus package that we saw announced last Friday, with a specific look at the use of the Makcik Kia personality. Now, the government has announced a 250 billion support package, which on the surface looked impressive. However, there have been mounting arguments that the plan does not provide enough of a safety net for the most vulnerable in Malaysia, the B40 group.
I think a lot of experts are saying, the B40 should get more, or we should be more targeted. Of course, I think, like, you know, you can never please everyone, and we are only looking at a stimulus 2.0 right now.
Yeah, and we've got a poll running on Twitter right now. How should the government help Makcik Kia and the B40 segment during this crisis? 33% have voted for upskilling programs, 29% for more cash handouts, and 26% for cheaper financing. 12% have voted for others, and there are a few suggestions here which we will get to in a bit. But right now, we're going for more analysis here. We're speaking to P. Gunasekaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. Guna, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. In your column, you wrote that the example of Makcik Kia given by the Prime Minister is problematic. We want to know how so, and in your view, what is the real profile of Makcik Kia and her family?
I think basically the Makcik Kia, as defined by the PM, does not actually reflect the real situation. It's a bit contrived. So I've used a simple example of a couple with three children. The lady is still a pisang goreng seller. She is Makcik Kia, and the husband is a casual laborer. And jointly, they earn 3,500 a month, 1,500 from Makcik Kia, and 2,000 from the husband. And this is about the median household income in rural areas. That means 50% of households in rural areas basically earn less than 3,500. You know, it's either 3,500 or less. So I think that's a more realistic example than what the PM has been using.
The example that you use, it's meant to be more realistic. Now, people are arguing that the stimulus package does not go far enough to support the likes of Makcik Kia, whether it's the Prime Minister's example or your example. I think my thought is, what can other institutions do to contribute and to help the B40 instead of putting all the pressure on the federal government to subsidize this community?
All right, the package is 250 billion ringgit, out of which only 10% is a direct injection of funds into the economy. So that is just 25 billion. So 25 billion of out of 250 billion is just 10%. So the direct injection of funds, which is the Keynesian style stimulus injection, is only 25 billion, and out of that, about 10 billion goes to the B40 package, to the B40 group. This should probably be increased by direct injection by a further 40 billion to about 50 billion. Then it would be meaningful, in my view. What can companies do in terms of
it could be even like Lembaga Tabung Haji, the Zakat state bodies, or even PNB. What can they do to contribute to the stimulus?
I think the way that they can contribute to the stimulus is if they are in a good financial position to declare dividends to their government, whether state or federal. So the one that is in the best position to do this is Petronas. Petronas has got more than 100 billion in cash reserves. I think it's well over 100 billion. So if they give an extraordinary large dividend to the government, then the government will have more money to make direct injections into the economy. But I think it looks like they are not prepared to do that at this point of time for some reason.
Isn't that also extraordinarily short-sighted, Guna, if Petronas were to give this bumper dividend because oil prices are 20 bucks a barrel and heading even lower?
Yeah, but these are extraordinary times. This is really kind of an economic crunch such that we have not faced before. Some people are even saying that it might become worse than the 1929 depression. So the current situation is not just about the economy, but also ensuring that that the lowest sections of the population, the poorest people, do not starve. No, I mean, because that is what could happen if you don't give them some direct cash help, you know, in this case, because there are actually literally millions of people who are not being helped by the stimulus package, you know, people who are living from hand to mouth. And they can't go out and earn a living. You can't be a casual laborer now. You do not earn any income from running a roadside stall. So I'm at a loss to see how they are actually managing even over a two-week period, let alone a one-month period. And then a situation where you might see further lockdowns, you know, the partial lockdown may be lifted, but it may be imposed again. So you are thinking in terms of further lockdowns into the future and how this might affect the whole situation.
Yeah, the good thing about this situation, Gunnar, is that it's highly politically expedient for this government to give out these cash handouts at this time, point in time. What do you think is constraining them from doing so?
I think the they may be worried one thing about ratings, you know, and I really don't think that this is the time to be worried about ratings. You're talking about survival here, and everybody is doing the same thing. Governments all over the world are borrowing as much as they can to come out with this handouts. The other thing is, I think if they don't go the Petronas route, they may have to go to Parliament to actually get the extra money needed for the direct part of the stimulus. So
isn't that the political risk for them, Gunnar, for them to go to Parliament and to get this ratified by the opposition lawmakers? Isn't there a risk for them to do so?
I feel that these are tough times, and if you maybe talk to the opposition and discuss with them first, you know, and agree on a palette of measures, so then... And to delay this whole issue of a vote of no confidence to a future date when things are better, they may still be able to do it, you know. So I think the current government is extremely afraid that they might be voted out by a no confidence move at this moment of time. You know, and that's the last thing we need at the moment, you know, for this country. So they should find some kind of means to come together and work out a plan which will benefit the country, you know? I mean, bury the political differences for the time being, at least.
So, Gunnar, we've talked about Petronas. Now, let's just look at the larger private sector, and including the GLCs and large global and Malaysian companies. How can they play a bigger role in providing some form of stimulus here? Do you have any thoughts here?
Unless they have cash to inject, they really can't. And there are very, very few GLCs who have got that kind of cash reserves to inject, because their own incomes will be crimped terribly. You know? I think, you see, I mean, if you look at, say, the banks, for instance, they are okay for now, but if people are unable to pay their loans back after 6 months, then they can be in a bad state. You know, I mean, if you look at plantations, you know, they are not even being worked at the moment, so they are going to be cash crimped. Almost all companies are going to be cash crimped. So the only example that I can think of is which has got a substantial amount of cash which can be used by the government is Petronas. There's nobody else out there.
Can Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, the Prime Minister, redeem himself and the Perikatan government if he manages to navigate the country through this crisis? I know we are moving to a more political question now.
I think the differences are deep. The resentments are deep. You know, I think people under these kind of circumstances, prepared to put aside politics and support any government which will do something good for the country. And I think his focus should be to look at the greater national interest. He has said, for instance, that he is a prime minister for all Malaysians. So now is the time to show that he is and to get some unity out of all the politicians who are there. No, and I think if you make some reasonable proposals in terms of helping the country and coming out with a good plan, perhaps even with the opposition on board, you know, some of them are pretty good in terms of their thought and their thinking and so on. And then you can. I don't think the opposition in the current climate will actually say no to such a measure.
All right, Guna, thank you so much. We actually got to head off the line right now. That was P. Gunasekaran, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. Thank you again, Guna, for spending some time with us this morning. Right now, we're going into a few messages and then the Breakfast Grill after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, where Kusu Chuang will be speaking to Mark Mobius of Mark Mobius Capital. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.